This is Hot Start with the Luter Brothers, Digital Dave and Fast Eddie.
Good morning. This is indeed Digital Dave.
And I am, once again, Fast Eddie.
And it's more like a, you know, lukewarm start today.
Yeah. As
we're not quite hot.
No, not yet. But the weather forecast is saying we might get a little crispy around the edges today.
Well, I think people here would be happy to hear that their tents will dry out.
I think that we ought to change it today from hot start to muddy start.
Well, that's for sure. Lake Winnebago has expanded into parts of the campground, from what I can tell.
And from what I saw last night, many of you tent campers now have that built-in pool you always wanted.
There you go. We're joined this morning by Mr. David Hartman, as most of you will know, has been around EAA for many years, was involved in television for many years, and is now looking at me like, what are you doing?
Television.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Digital and fast.
Yeah, well, they don't necessarily mean the same thing.
I wasn't going to comment.
Go ahead, comment away.
Everybody else has. Why should you be the exception?
So, good morning, guys. It's nice to be here. Nice to be back.
Well, thanks for coming over. We read in your bio that you were in the Air Force. Now, I never realized your aviation involvement went back that far.
Yeah, it does. Well, it actually started as a kid, which is I was in grade school during World War II. So, you know, I sat there drawing airplanes, and that's why I got C's, and because the teachers say, what are you doing? And I was always drawing airplanes. So, yeah, it goes back a long way. But I was ROTC, commissioned 3 years in SAC, Strategic Air Command, and we were a tanker wing. And so, yeah, I've got a little background.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty wild background, actually. We don't hear too many people from SAC.
Especially involved with tankers.
They're not allowed to talk about it much.
What made it even more interesting, my permanent station for most of my active duty time was Bangor, Maine, and where we had a tanker wing, a KC-97s. That was an airplane that had one of those things on the front.
The fan to keep the pilot cool?
That go around on the front. And actually, it was the last wing in 1960 that transitioned over to the KC-135. But for temporary duty, we got to go to Thule, Greenland, which is 600 miles from the North Pole, and we would do 90-day TDYs up to Thule, Greenland. And that was a very special experience.
Special good or special bad?
Well, if you don't like cold weather, don't go up there.
Talking about pulling the good assignments.
Pretty chilly. No, it was a great experience. But we were up there once for a period of 90 days where it was daylight, nighttime normally, and then all daylight. And up there another time when it was daylight and then all dark, 24 hours a day, which is pretty depressing stuff. I mean, we don't realize how our bodies just really respond to light and dark, but it was a great experience. Cold, a little chilly, but
great experience. But you were glad to get back.
Yeah, that's right.
It had to be a challenge for the crew chiefs to be able to keep the planes ready.
That's which was the key. What you just said, you know, hits the nail right on the head. And when it's below zero, and sometimes wind chills down to minus 40, minus 50, and you get the Fahrenheit temperatures. Minus 10, minus 20, minus 25. And they're working on airplanes outdoors. And you can imagine with their bare hands having to touch metal. And it was really challenging stuff. And those mechanics and crew chiefs, you know, there wasn't enough money or scotch in the NCO club, you know, for them. So, they were just fabulous.
Now, did they rotate with the aircraft, or were they stationed there?
No, they rotate with the wing. The wing, or in our case, squadron of 21 airplanes. Yeah, everything goes. Spare parts, everything, everybody. You go as a unit. So
I can just imagine what they felt when they had to go back the second time.
That's right.
Oh, no, not again.
Well, yes, but they were also, there's a gratitude side of it, which were the people who got Thule as a PCS, a permanent change of station, and were there for a year. It was a one-year PCS. So.
Wow.
Now, didn't they reward them by like sending them to Hawaii after that or something?
I don't know, but we were always angry because there were tanker wings like ours down in Florida, and they would get to go TDY to Spain or to Puerto Rico or places like that. And we didn't think that was fair. because we were already semi-Arctic. So anyway, it was a good experience.
They figured you guys wouldn't be able to handle the extremes.
Well, you know, the good thing is that you never had to worry about the air conditioning on the plane breaking down.
Well, that's the point. Yeah. Understatement right there. That's the truth.
Well, you know, working up there in Greenland, which is actually quite, it's misnamed. It's actually covered
frozen
with ice
wasteland.
And snow. Frozen wasteland, yeah. You know, not only keeping the aircraft running, but just keeping the airport open had to be a tremendous job as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Of course, it's not a commercial airport. I mean, at that time, this was pre-satellite. We're talking the late 50s. And so we still had reconnaissance aircraft.
Yeah, the Cold War was pretty hot.
Yes, it was. And we can talk about it now. We couldn't then. But pre-satellite, we needed airplanes to fly over Soviet Union. And they were, in our case, they were RB-47s, reconnaissance B-47s. And there were three or four of them based at Thule. But we were not allowed, unquote, to talk with those crews, even though we knew who they were and they knew who we were. But when they were, you know, flying over the Soviet Union, we would take off in cells of three aircraft and go up to altitude, and they would take off, and they burned up so much fuel getting up there in the RB that, and we'd top them off, and then they would fly down and take pictures, and we would wind up coming back, and we'd usually get back to base about the same time. And we'd see each other, but there was never any conversation about any of it. Obviously, everybody knew what was going on. So, but it was an interesting time.
I understand their major mission was trying to find the Russian nudist colonies.
Yeah, in the cold weather, I don't think you're going to have many of them.
Yeah,
you never
you're
know.
Absolutely right.
Well, that had to be interesting. I mean, obviously, the biggest thing is trying to stay warm, because up there you have life-threatening cold. Doesn't that affect you when you're trying to get into the airplane? You're all bundled up.
It's true. But, again, you just learn to deal with it.
You adjust.
In our case, it's a big airplane. It's not like we're getting into a fighter. So we're, you know, climbing up ladders. But, you know, you had all the right clothes and you wore them and, you know.
And you miss those days, don't you?
I really do. And, I mean, here we are at 73 degrees and very pleasant. I mean, this is horrible, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough to deal with.
Yeah, it sure is.
Can't stand these heat waves.
You know, you got to feel bad for those guys who are working in Florida and Hawaii, you know, all those really tough places.
You know, I had one of my roommates who was Navy ROTC in school, and he knew he was going to do 2 years active duty. I was going to do three. And I was gung-ho as that guy wanted SAC. What do you want? What part of the country? What air command? Whatever. I wrote SAC 9 times. And this detailer looked at my card with SAC written 9 times. He said, "Kid, you are getting what you want. You're going SAC. There's no doubt about it. What's wrong with you?"
Yeah, exactly.
And, but my roommate wound up Navy getting 2 years active duty, 1 year in New Orleans, and 1 year in Honolulu.
Oh, wow.
The horror.
Yes.
It was a horror. So how are you guys?
We're doing well.
We're good.
We're doing well.
We don't have anything to complain about outside of excessive mud.
Right.
Mud. So I woke up when the rains hit the other night, and I started, because I've done a lot of camping over the years and know what it's like, rain tents and stuff. And I thought, with the thousands of tents that are out here, and I thought, if that water just flows in, there's no way to keep it out. And
that's
you're just
right.
Lying in water.
The waters are rising
slowly.
As they
say in North Carolina, bless their hearts. Man, it takes a lot of spirit. I don't know.
Actually, this year has been rather sedate compared to last year. A week before, they had 13 inches of rain. They had Wednesday night, they had 6. Thursday night, they had 7.
They had a lot.
And, I mean, the mosquitoes in this place, I'm sorry, the Wisconsin state bird.
I thought it was the Wisconsin Air Force.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I'll tell you what, that Monday morning we left out, we had mosquitoes that were so bad you couldn't have killed them all with a flamethrower.
Oh,
they were coming at us in squadrons, and they had their own control tower set up.
Wow. So what are you flying these days?
I don't fly. I'm not a pilot.
What?
You're not flying?
I always assumed you were, because
me too.
You're such an aficionado.
Well, thank you. But, you know, I write about aviation space and have for 45 years, and have been very involved, especially writing about military aviation and military aviation history, and so I'm around it all the time, and love aviation, obviously, but I was too tall. I was on my way to primary, you know, as a young ROTC grad, and they had to get two kids out of my primary class. They screwed up with the paperwork. Had two extra kids in my primary class, and they knew all through those 4 years of college that I was almost 6'5". And so when I got down to San Antonio to Lackland, and they said, hey, you're out of here, kid.
Oh, boy.
And so that was that. And later on, I had an opportunity. They said 3 years later that they said, if you really want to stay in, we'll get you there. But I'd already shifted gears to do some other stuff. And so I've just enjoyed being around it and writing about it. I've, you know, had the joy, the privilege as a civilian particularly, of being able to ride, you know, a lot of X time, a lot of backseat time in all of our military aircraft. And and it's been a privilege.
He's going to have to hook us up because we don't know how to do
definitely.
That.
No, just hang out in the ops and just stand there and say, do you want somebody riding your airplane?
Yeah.
But it's been a privilege and to have those kinds of opportunities. One of the best, of course, is backseat of a Tomcat from a carrier in the Pacific, and I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Nice.
And the guy didn't try to make you sick now, did he?
But no, he didn't, as a matter of fact. I mean, we had a good time out there. It was fine.
Were you sitting there quoting lines from Top Gun, you know, hey, Mav, it's time to do some of that pilot stuff?
No, he was like, where's the barf bag? That would be me.
it's a great experience. And what was interesting, after going to PAX, you know, Patuxent River, and going through all the pool training and stuff, if you're going to fly off a boat, you've got to go through that stuff. And in case you wind up in the water sometime. And and I kept asking the guys in the squadron, this is on the Vincent several many years ago, but I said, tell me about the cat shot and, you know, what that's going to be like. And they just kind of would beg off, and they say, it's, you know, you'll see. I mean, and they would just blow it off. And after we came in and trapped and went to the ready room, the same guys got around me and said, okay, describe the cat shot to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of hemmed and hawed. I said, well, he said, now you understand why we didn't try to tell you about the cat
exactly,
shot.
Exactly.
But
nothing like it on earth.
I'm just trying to come up with the words now,
right.
And I can't. No, yeah, it's great. It's great. In fact, the squadron commander, the guy that flew me in the Tomcat, and he said, when we got down, we crawled out of the airplane, he said, hey, okay, what'd you think? And I said, well, it could have been better. And he looked at me and said, what? And he said, how? I said, if I could have been up there all by myself, all alone. And he said, you get it.
Yeah, you get it. That one.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
All right, well, sir, I want to thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Good morning.
Hey, don't forget to come back next year.
Tell us
more about your aviation adventures.
That's right.
Well, I'll give it a shot. It's nice to meet you both.
Give us some tips on radio, people.
Yeah, really.
We could use all the help we can get.
I don't know anything about that.
There you go. All right.
Have a good day, guys. Thanks a million.
Thank you. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to Hot Start on EAA Radio.